minutes after 4 o'clock, hour number 2 of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch joined alongside Mr. Matt Douglas. Together we bring you Bullseye on the afternoon until 6 o'clock, because then it's time to talk a little high school wrestling on the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Well, our next guest could have been an all-state wrestler, but he took his talents to the hardwood, and he ended up setting the record for most rebounds in one game at Christ School, and they've actually passed a number of seven-footers through their program who have gone on to play at the Division I level, but none of those guys could play as well as the one and only, the great Daniel Helm. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you, Bull?
Lovely. Lovely, my friend. I think the 26 rebounds in one game are far more impressive than Al Bundy scoring 4 touchdowns in one game to set the Polk High record. Wouldn't you agree?
I think so. And when you say it like that, that we've had some NBA guys come through there, that's something I'll always have. But things have gone a lot further south in my athletic career since then. But I'll always have that.
Yes, you most definitely will always have that. I wanted to get your take on something that we've at least brushed on this show in recent weeks. You know, the NCAA investigation that's ongoing with the AAU effect and all those who have been involved in this process, it seems dirty and it seems like it's going to get real nasty real fast. We've heard in recent weeks that we could hear some more reports surface right around tournament time, which is the absolute worst possible scenario for the NCAA, I think. But as long as somebody's got the results of the investigation, they're going to leak, regardless of how good or bad a time it might be for the NCAA. Just kind of wanted to get your take on all that we have learned in recent months about this investigation.
Well, I think if you look back at what happened at Louisville right before the season started, I mean, they were within a week of the season started, and they fired a Hall of Fame coach because of the things that have come out. I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. We'll look back at that and just, I think, look at that's the first domino to fall. And I think the same thing is going to happen at many, many schools. If any of this information is true, which, I mean, there's no reason that this wouldn't be true, because all this information is coming from the FBI. It's not coming through the NCAA, which we know can be a joke with some of their investigations. So a big thing is, this is all, they have records. The FBI doesn't mess around. They don't fake, you know, this isn't something that they might just have a hunch on. This is spreadsheets, wiretaps, all of that clear-cut evidence, because the FBI won't go in there and arrest, you know, just and take computers just because they think somebody might be paying money. So I think it's really, really going to get ugly. And I don't think, ultimately, I don't think it's going to shock a lot of people. I think some of the names probably will. But, I mean, it's an arms race. And, you know, all these people, I mean, wins gets money, whether it's the school or the coach. You know, the coach gets bonuses when he wins. The school makes a ton of money the further you go in the tournament. It's all about money. So what they'll do is they'll do anything to get the players they need.
When you talk about AAU players, and I know this is something I think that everybody has generally assumed has been going on for a very long time, that relationship, though, I want to go back to the 90s. Like, we knew about the AAU leagues, but I don't think we realized the power that those AAU leagues really had. I feel like that kind of burst onto the scene in the 2000s. I could be wrong on that timeline. But, Dan, that's right around the time when you were an assistant under Ron Jursa and, of course, Oliver Purnell, just to name a couple, at Dayton and then again at Marshall as well. Was the AAU thing going on when you were an assistant coach, or is that something that really kind of hadn't gotten too big just yet?
Oh, yeah, it was. It was really starting late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, what it is you get guys that latch on to a name, a high school player, and you get a lot of hangers-on, and these people want to take advantage of these and kind of see it as their meal ticket out of whatever current situation they have. And if you, even to this day, if you look at college coaching staffs all over the country, a lot of assistant coaches have, you know, was such and such as AAU coach for this program, and they get hired because they can bring this kid. You know, there's a kid, Michael Porter Jr. All Cavs fans should probably learn his name. He's going to be a top 10 pick. He plays at Missouri. He's hurt right now, but his dad got named assistant coach at Missouri this last year, and the kid switched his commitment from Washington to Missouri. Well, in basketball, unlike a lot of other sports, one player can change a program for a year. one year of making a Final Four run can make a coach set for life. Even if he gets fired at a big name school, he can end up at going back to, you know, a smaller, you know, MAC type school, you know, kind of as his fall from grace. So there's just so much money. But that AAU stuff really picked up late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, the shoe companies are, you know, Adidas and Nike being the two biggest, and Under Armour's kind of just now on the scene, just funneling money into those programs because that was, is, and somehow is a little bit legal in terms of that. And then that's where those back channels kind of open up for the illegal stuff that's been happening.
Fan, what's your take on all this? I mean, March Madness is coming up. I mean, that's huge for NCAA college basketball, despite the fact Louisville, who has to now give away their titles and allocate all their wins. Is this really going to hurt the sport that bad? You mentioned you think a lot of other teams are going to take a fall, or do you think this is something college basketball just work through?
I think it's going to be something that they work through because – I mean, there's just not a minor league system quite yet like we've got with baseball. I mean, it's going to get ugly, but there's going to be teams that will come out. You know, there'll be teams that get punished. I mean, you look at Louisville's punishment. I mean, they did things wrong, and they have to take a banner down, but nobody's going to can take away what happened that night, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when they were, you know, won the championship. Rick Pitino might regret that tattoo he got the next day, but you know, I think, I mean, March Madness, you think of it like it's everybody, this kind of the country stops for the Super Bowl. You think of the first couple of days of March Madness. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon then. You know, I think all of that will still go on. These players are going to still have colleges to play for. I mean, you know, even if kids are allowed to go straight to the pros from high school, I mean, how many are really good enough to do it every year? 5 to 10, and that's being really generous. So you're still going to have a ton of talent in college. It's just going to be a matter of, maybe they're not going to set some of the powers that we're used to.
And I also think, too, to your point, it's not always the story about the star players. March Madness, if nothing else, gives us a reason to root for Cinderella. Maybe guys who are flying under the radar and perhaps guys that aren't necessarily associated with those that are involved with this AAU-NCAA investigation as well. So I think that's part of what makes that tournament as great as it is the fact that you see guys emerge and you see these Cinderella stories that come out as a result. So you're right. I think in that regard, Dan, there's no way in the world this tournament can be touched by these allegations simply because it's the guys who we don't immediately see on the surface what really makes this thing great, no?
Right, and, you know, maybe a few names have to sit out of the tournament, but the way the NCAA, and that's the thing that people need to remember, that this investigation is through the FBI. The NCAA has been left completely in the dark, and for obvious reason, because they have just seemed to never get any of this stuff right. So what's going to happen is we may have names and things like that, and maybe a guy or two has to sit out, and those guys will get drafted anyway. But the NCAA won't be able to act quick enough, even if that stuff came out in 10 minutes, to get it all right and situated as slow as they act. So, I mean, we're going to have the same drama. You know, you're going to get sick of, they're going to beat the headline into the ground. But you know what? At noon on that Thursday in March, that ball's going to go up. The bars are going to be packed. People are going to be gambling. People are going to be filling out their brackets just the same. And, you know, I think ultimately, similar to steroids in baseball, you've got the people that really care and get worked up about it. But I think a lot of people don't care. A lot of people think some of the athletes in college should be paid. I know that's a whole other conversation. But once the game comes on, people want to watch, and they don't care how they got there.
You're right, because I think at the same time, a lot of people have believed, or at least generally assumed, that something like this had been going on behind the scenes for years, and they say the same thing you just echoed there. Look, it's not like something that's so awful it's going to take them away from watching the game and enjoying March Madness every single year. We'll bring things onto the floor now, my friend. And, you know, I think it's always fun this time of the year because I think people, even if they casually observe, they really seem to hone in this time of the year as they get ready to fill their brackets out. As you take a look at the field right now, it seems like it's wide open, and I know we mentioned that last year. Do you have a favorite now that we're a month away from the big dance?
Yeah, it's funny, too, and everyone this time of year says, oh, it's always wide open, but I think truly there's about 10 or 12 teams that are really good. I'll fire off 5 or 6 for you real fast, but your Spartans in Michigan State look really good. They've got a couple guys that have been around the program for a few years with Izzo. I mean, you can't ever bet against Izzo in March. We know, I mean, he's almost a Final Four guaranteed. The most talented team to me is Duke. If they put it all together and they're healthy, they've got a group of older guys that have been there before. I really, really think to me that Duke will be the national champions this year if healthy. A couple other teams that I really like to see what will happen. Virginia is known for their defense. They haven't given up 60 points yet this year, which is just absolutely insane in a numbers game that where the offenses are just insane. So I want to see if that can kind of travel in March. Purdue has been really good, but they've faltered a little bit lately. Villanova and North Carolina have both won the last two national championships, both good top 10 teams and have the experience to get there. And the other kind of sneaky team is Arizona. They're top 15 right now, but they had, four straight losses early in the year, and it dropped them out of the top five for a couple months. But they've got a couple NBA-type talent guys. They have a great coach, and they have a couple older guys that have made it to the Elite Eight. And you can't sleep on that tournament experience. You know, guys that have been in that first weekend, you walk into the room, you do the interviews, you know, if that stuff's new to you, it can really you know, open your eyes. And as cliche as it sounds, you can't do anything until you win that first game. But winning that first game is really important for confidence and just feeling comfortable in the stage and kind of getting into a groove.
How about the Cinderellas there? Are there any teams, little guys, that stick out as a team that could take down some of the big guys?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. I mean, there's a couple of the, I don't know if we even call them Cinderellas anymore, but St. Mary's and Gonzaga both are having great years. They basically have only lost to each other. They split. That'll be a sneaky good game when they probably play for the conference championship in 2 weeks. It'll probably be at about 2 a.m. on ESPN, the Ocho. But so those two are always going to be good. Wichita State has now moved into a conference, into a better conference, and so look for them to be more tournament tested. They've got a ton of talent. And then my biggest sleeper this year is Rhode Island. Rhode Island was 3 points away from knocking off a two seed last year to go to the Sweet 16. They return all their players. They have one loss in the Atlantic 10. They've just cruised through the season. They have two losses at the beginning of the year, and that was with a couple guys injured. But fully healthy, they've only lost one game. They play tomorrow night against the Dayton Flyers, if anybody's interested. But it's going to probably be an ugly game. But Rhode Island is great. Bobby Hurley's brother, Danny Hurley, is the coach. Very underrated guy. He's got a group of seniors there that have been there all 4 years, and I really look to see them making the Sweet 16 and would not be shocked if they went further.
Talking NCAA College Hoops with Daniel Helm here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And let's take a look at the season as a whole for now. I know you mentioned some of the dark horses, some potential Cinderellas in the tournament. But if you were to pick out two teams that have really surprised you throughout the course of the season, who would those teams be?
Well, I think first you'd have to look. There's two teams really. Texas Tech, who, you know, they've had a couple big-name coaches, Tubby Smith, Bobby Knight, over the last 15 years, Bobby Knight's son, Pat, and they've just tried to become this basketball power. And, you know, now they've got a new coach. I think he came from Stephen F. Austin. If you remember, they had the purple uniforms. Their guy had the lumberjack beard, and they won a couple games, I think, 2 years ago. And he's got them in the top. I think they're ranked sixth in the country right now. They've only gotten 5 losses. And they're in a great conference, and they're actually tied for first with Kansas in the Big 12. And Kansas has not lost the Big 12 championship, I think, in 12 or 13 years. So that's a name you don't hear often. And also Auburn. The SEC is a lot stronger this year. So you got some football schools like Tennessee and Auburn having great years. You know, and you got a school like Vanderbilt who has, you know, 2 top 10 kids coming there next year. So, the SEC is really growing, but Auburn and Texas Tech are names that everybody knows them because they're big schools, but never really been powerhouses in basketball. But, you know, I think they have combined 8 losses between the two, and they just kind of keep motoring along. But the key for them, neither of those teams have any experience when it comes to being in the NCAA tournament. So what do they do when those bright lights come on?
That's a great question because, as you alluded to earlier, you know, having gone through that process, it makes it a heck of a lot easier second time around. That first time you do it, as you mentioned, I mean, you're being you're being, you know, you're approached by reporters and you're going through the whole media frenzy. It's a totally different animal the first time you go through it. Before we cut you loose, my friend, you did mention that you have high hopes for the Duke Blue Devils. How big of a problem is Marvin Bagley's knee injury going to be? Because he's now missed four straight games. How big of a problem do you think that'll be?
Well, I think he's the most talented player in the NCAA, so obviously a huge problem if it's troublesome. I wonder how much they're just holding him out for precaution. I watched them last night. They steamrolled Louisville by 30 points, and that's a pretty good Louisville team. What's happened is Grayson Allen has now become, I know he's kind of a pariah and he's not a big fan favorite, but he has not been asked to score a lot this year because there's so much talent and they have two top five centers on their team. So he's been feeding a lot, the post a lot, and he has been asked to score a lot with Bagley out, and he has responded. I think he's had 20 points at least in the first half of the last two games. So they've got the talent there. They still have the talent without him to go far, but I think he would really be what takes him over the edge. But, you know, like when they had Kyrie a couple of years ago, he had a hurt toe, he missed a bunch of games and tried to come back, and it just wasn't there. So he's going to need to play a couple games before the tournament starts, or they're going to be looking at maybe an earlier exit than they want.
Great stuff as always, my friend. As we get closer to these conference tournaments tipping off, and then, of course, as we get even closer to March Madness itself, we will most definitely have you on again soon. We always appreciate the time, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Again, Daniel Helm joining us here, talking some NCAA college hoops. Boy, I tell you what, man, March Madness feels like it's already here. It's February 22nd, so we're not that far from that finish line. It's going to be a lot of fun. We hope that maybe the Thursday or that Friday we might be out on location doing our show for that day.
Yeah, that'd certainly be fun. What tournament, conference tournament, start this weekend, next week? Is that right?
Some of those smaller schools, those smaller conferences, yeah, they'll start a little bit early. What hurts those teams is if you play those conference tournaments during the weekend, this weekend rather, and then you've got, if let's just say you win and you go on to play in the tournament, then you've got to wait 2 weeks before playing another game.
And that's, you're, yeah, no, you're right.
That's a little odd.